if you haven't had coffee or tea, I'll recommend something much more healthier in your hands, the water. So we can commence whilst you get some coffee and tea, once you have dealt with your introductory remarks. Minister, I think it would be advisable if you could kindly, there are some familiar faces, others are not so familiar. So if you could start with a round of introductions so that members know exactly who's responsible for what. Thank you, sir. You may, or they may speak for themselves. The choice is yours. Yeah, unless you allocate the wrong surnames to the wrong people. Okay, thank you.
Good morning once more, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee. My name is Mziwonge Dlabantu. I'm the Director General.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Belinda van der Merwe and I'm responsible for PMT Finance.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Cox Mukoro. I'm the Chief Finance Officer.
Good morning. My name is Imtiaz Faisal. I'm the DDG for Governance, Risk and Compliance in the Department.
Morning, Chair and the Members. I'm Zola Luswazi. I'm the Chair of the Audit Committee.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and Members. My name is Paul Suruta. I'm the Head of Property Management Trading Agency.
Morning. My name is Aaron Mazibubo, Finance Chief Director, DPW.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Mpoma Shaba. I am the Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Judge Mudumela, the Chief of Staff, Department of Government.
Morning, Chair and Members. I'm Sabi Lomala. I'm the Media Liaison Officer in the Office of the Minister.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Tsirong Bembe from the Auditor General. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Yinka from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and the Honourable Members. My name is Busisiwe Sintleng from DPW and PMTE Inspectorate and Compliance.
Minister, thank you for the introductions by 11 men and 2 women from the department. 3. Okay. We may continue, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. And our chairperson of the Audit Committee, the AG representatives and departmental officials. Let me thank the Portfolio Committee for this opportunity provided for us to present our 2015-16 annual report. Just briefly before the DG comes in, Chairperson, the reason why the Deputy Minister is not here and some of the DDGs, we must just put it on record. We're starting our EPWP conference today. We're just afraid that I should not go to that conference because I'll be punished by this committee if both of us had left. And
You are right. I've got a very big stick.
And by the way, and I think I'm mentioning this EPWP, that's what has prevented us from a clean audit because of the poor records which are coming from the municipalities. And we are going with a very clear mandate from ourselves into the EPWP conference that if people do not give us the necessary documentation, we are going to withhold the grants. But what are the political implications? But if they continue, we continue giving grants, people do not give us the information, we continue with the negative audit. But if you withhold the grants, the ordinary people are going to suffer. That's the catch-22 situation which is facing us from the municipalities. So this annual report is presented then in the context of our second phase of the turnaround, because we had 7 years, we're on the fifth year now of the turnaround. And honorable members will recall where I started when I announced the strategy with the intention to improve the operations and claim back the mandate of the department. We said the turnaround strategy, those phases were underpinned by three critical questions. Where do we come from? Where we are now? And what are we doing? And where are we going? We have in the past 2 financial years provided Parliament with progress on where we come from. And such allowed us to develop all the necessary strategies and instruments for the first phase, which was the stabilization, where we have stabilized the leadership. Now, with the financial year ended 31st March 2016, partly pleased to brief this committee again on the gains of the second phase, which is efficiency enhancement, which is where we are now and what we are doing. But I must be honest, we're not yet out of the woods. Because we believe in one thing. If you want to address a problem, you must first acknowledge that there is a problem. Don't hide and say there is no problem for cheap politicking or for political expediency. So we're honest about our own mistakes, or we're honest about the problems which we have inherited and what we are doing about that. With those few words, Chair, I'm here allowing the DG to continue together with the relevant people. DG?
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Just to preface the presentation, which I will then run through because it is represented and outlined in the actual annual report document, which has been circulated. We'll just highlight some of the elements of the phase the Minister has indicated, which are that we focus on systemic improvements in critical function areas of the department, redesigning the processes and systems to give effect to our delivery modes. One example, for example, is an issue that has not been implemented at Public Works, which is the IDMS. I'm just prefacing the honorable members. I will go back to the presentation. I have not started. I'll indicate when I get to it. And then concentrating on the operational programs such as the property management, departmental business improvement, and transversal business improvement areas. If you take these elements, you see how they are translated into various business areas of the department, and these are outlined then in the presentation that we will be making on the actual annual report. And these are transversal business improvements between PMTE and the department, which was for the first time separated. construction project management, particularly the improvements that we're implementing there, the expanded public works program that relates to phase three, the legislation and the municipal debt, oversight and concurrent mandate support, which has been lacking and never implemented, even though we have a concurrent function as DPW. And then our contribution to the ocean's economy because of the custodianship of the harbour, which is also a concurrent function between ourselves and the municipalities where these harbours are located. While we may pride ourselves with some degree of achievement of some of the areas detailed in our turnaround strategy, we will also highlight the challenges up front, because we operate in a complex environment. I will cite a few examples. The legislative process, as we know, takes time and often involves a number of stakeholders driven by a myriad of interests and concerns. Because we are doing a fundamental change, therefore, we have to ensure that we do extensive consultations and research within the department. What this means is that, indeed, when presenting a bill, for example, we cannot afford to present a bill that has not gone through public hearings, through research, obtaining legal opinions, ensuring that there are no constitutional negative constitutional implications. All these take time, and as a result, you will notice that in our policy unit, performance has been adversely affected, while there have been areas where we have made progress. While it is always the intention of the department to meet its targets, external factors also need not be ignored. I can say with the same for the processes and stakeholders involved in the establishment of the Council for Built Environment and the Independent Development Trust as Schedule 3 entities. Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to preamble our presentation in the context of a global and domestic economic environment, which we have outlined in the presentation. For example, the low economic growth coupled with high levels of unemployment put a strain on the fiscus, resulting in tighter fiscal measures. In the current year, for example, I have instructed that we round up all the departments that are implementing the EPWP to consider what the implications are of the current cuts, which have started in the past years, so that we can be certain that what exactly would be the right target that come out of this. Internally, as a means to strengthen our operations, we have had to tighten some of the governance structures, because this is where we emphasize accountability. It is pleasing to present to the committee that through our weekly operational ex committee, we can demonstrate notable progress in the following areas. We hold it with a discipline every Monday morning. And the areas are listing portfolio, the construction project management and facilities management, which are the most difficult of the areas that we need to deal with. Although the actual performance may not reflect 100% complete picture as planned, but these meetings have provided the necessary tools for efficiency improvements in internal controls and effective decision-making processes and aligning our strategies to the business of public works. I think, honorable members, we also appreciate this when carefully scrutinizing the Auditor General's report that the department is getting somewhere. We are better than what we were in the past. As the minister often puts it, the patient has been discharged and carefully taking the necessary medication. Right now, we are still monitoring the progress. I must hasten to mention the role of audit committee played, ensuring that we have and maintain in place and operating in accordance with the required prescripts. Our audit committee does note some improvements as well from prior periods to the period under review. But they also have expressed to ourselves that we need to do more. And I think present with us is the chair of the audit committee. I hope you did introduce yourself. Yes. In the leasing environment, we need to note that government is the biggest lessee of office and other functional accommodation in the country, placing it as a strong player in the field. As of 31 March 2016, the PMTE managed a total lease portfolio of 2,617 leases. This included 83 expired leases compared to the 1,176 expired leases that were reported in 2013. So we've made progress in this regard. The reduction has been made possible by the assistance of National Treasury, which gave us a first and second dispensation to deal with renewal of leases within the acceptable norms of the Treasury regulations. These dispensations created a platform for the department to significantly reduce the historical irregular expenditure, an opportunity to renegotiate new leases at favorable rates, as well as giving us a grace period for conceptualization of an appropriate procurement framework for leases, which has been the biggest problem and the cause for many of the problems. In the EPWP program, the EPWP program has had its fair share of challenges in the current year. You will recall that we have exceeded our annual target in the first year of phase three. However, this figure has dropped in the second year as a result of systematic changes that we had to effect in order to address the issues that we found in the audit outcomes. We implemented an enhanced reporting system to ensure accurate and reliable reporting of work opportunities created by public bodies implementing EPWP, with the ability to do more verification of those so that the data is acceptable. The improvement in the validation rules of data captured on the system and required supporting document is an indication of maturing of the system. In the first quarter subsequent to this year and the second quarter, we are seeing significant marked improvements once more, although we have not yet we are not yet matching our targets. The systems are core to the phase two of the turnaround. We have instituted a number of systems in key areas of the business, such as implementing the Archibus and Sage system that will assist in the migration of verified immovable asset registers. This system will also provide seamless integrated technology platforms in leases, facilities management, construction project management, capital budgeting, call logging via what we call Works for You call center, and the GIS logging. We should be able to provide more details in the coming years as the system matured. Honorable members, I thought I should first provide the operational and environmental context before getting into the main presentation. Other areas will be expressed during the presentations. These include our contribution to the ocean's economy in detail, the role we have played in our oversight on the province's progress on the new issue of dealing with municipal debt, our financial performance, and our progress in dealing with some of the issues. Let me now take this opportunity to go into the detailed presentation. As indicated, Chair, in the presentation, I will seek not to repeat some of the things I have provided while providing more details on the others in order to give the context, the fuller context of what's happening. The purpose of this briefing, as indicated by the Chair, is to brief the Portfolio Committee on the DPW and PMT annual performance for the 2015 financial year. And that is contained in the annual report that has been printed and distributed. The contents will cover the following: the mandate of the department, the structure of the annual report, the structure of the department and PMTE, overview of achievements, and then program performance. Which is part A, program performance of the DPW, and part B, the program performance for the PMTE, And then we'll also provide to contextualize the report with the challenges that we have experienced, some of which may have caused the inability to achieve goals and objectives, and the way forward we are proposing to deal with those things. Then we'll cover governance in brief, and then part seven will then be dealing with the financial information, which is the main vote and the PMTE. That part will be presented by the CFO. We are presenting it as a whole, consolidated report, in order for members to have the full context, as is outlined in the annual report. Just to remind members, our constitutional mandate is provided for in Schedule 4, Part A of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, which deals with functional areas of concurrent national and provincial legislative competence, as well as the concurrent function that relates to the issue of harbors with municipalities. Our legislative mandate is primarily governed by the Government Immovable Asset Management Act, which is GIAMA, of 2007. We also regulate the construction industry and built environment through the Construction Industry Development Board Act of 2000, which is Act number 38 of 2000, and the six provincial council acts that regulate the six built environment professions. And this is achieved through the oversight created through the Council for the Built Environment, which is Act number 43 of 2000. Our policy mandate is driven and informed by the following: the Public Works White Paper Towards the 21st Century of 1997. And this is one of the areas that we are reviewing in order to determine a Public Works Act that takes into account the developments since then. The DPWP White Paper, Creating an Enabling Environment for Reconstruction, Growth and Development in the Construction Industry. Construction Sector Transformation Charter, the Property Sector Transformation Charter of 2007, the DPW Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Strategy of 2006, the Property Management Strategy on Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment, Job Creation and Poverty Alleviation of 2007, and then the Green Building Framework of 2011, as adjusted by the policy that was approved by MINMEF during the course of last year. The structure of the annual report is as follows. Chapter 1 deals with general information, minister's statement, and this is prescribed an overview. You will have seen that's where we indicate most of the policy development and policy environment. Chapter 2 deals with performance information divided into two sections. Section A, in our case, deals with the vote, which is DPW, and Section B deals with the property management trading entity, performance information. And then Chapter 3 deals with governance issues, and then Chapter 4, human resource management, and Chapter 5 is the financial information, which the CFO will then be presenting. Just to indicate, Chair, and remind members, for the first year, in the year under review, we split the department from PMTE and created separate budget structures. And we just want to indicate and juxtapose those programs against each other. In the vote, which is Department of Public Works vote, well, program one is the standard program called administration. That is where we locate internal audit, corporate services, finance and supply chain management, strategic management, performance monitoring and evaluation. Program two is a new program for a function that DPW before had ignored, which was identified when we were doing the turnaround strategy, which is the intergovernmental coordination. Program 3 is the EPWP program, which was always there. Program 4 is the property and construction policy regulation, which is dealing with largely the policy areas for the department. And then program 5 is prestige management, which replaced what used to be called auxiliary services. What we then created in the PMTE, with approval of Treasury in discussions with the DPSA as well, and the Department of Monetary, was that program 1 remains the standard program, which is called administration and management, which is largely finance and supply chain. You will see that finance and supply chain is one of the functions that are shared between where we share the resources so that we don't duplicate them between the PMT and the DPW. Then program 2 is real estate investment, which is what used to be the core business that was ignored, resulted in the problems we experienced. Then construction project management, real estate management, real estate information and registry, which largely deals with the maintenance and updating of the immovable asset register, and then facilities management, which is another area that was largely ignored previously, as identified in terms of the turnaround strategy. Now, just to indicate the shared services. The services that are primarily in the vote are EPWP, property and construction, industry policy, and prestige management. Then finance and supply chain management, corporate services, governance, risk and compliance, intergovernmental coordination, and I think also including the internal audit are what we call shared services. They perform functions and on a shared basis, and we, in the financial statements, we have a formula for allocating what costs go to which of the two entities. Then the PMT remains and those programs, which is real estate and investment services, the construction project management, the real estate management, real estate information and registry, and the facilities management. Now let me go to the an overview of the achievements as outlined in the annual report. Perhaps the contextual background that the Minister did cover it. We present it in the current year as in the context of having reached what we call the efficiency enhancement phase 2 of the turnaround strategy, as announced by the Minister. Just to remind members once more that the three stages were stabilization, efficiency and sustainability and growth. Now the sustainability and growth phase is to be achieved by 2019. The efficiency enhancement was to be achieved between 2014 and 2019. Now these phases, there are overlaps in some of the activities, but largely they are structured on this basis. And their objective is to drive transformation and are delivered through a process of implementing change management that ensures that the department becomes better in the future as we go forward. Overview of performance in the annual report pages is covered from page 13 to page 48. These are the following key areas that received our priority attention as the department strives to improve efficiencies and effectiveness. Transversal business improvement for both the PMTE and the department. Again, improvement in the construction project management. The implementation of the expanded public works program. The legislation. The municipal debt, oversight of the concurrent management, the sort of mandate, support, and our contribution to the oceans economy. If you take the transversal business improvement for both PMT and the department,
The year under review has seen few critical interventions that sought to enhance and strengthen the corporate services support to the core business of the department. The review of the organizational structure of the department, the finalization of the PMTE structure and the submission of both of these to DPSA for approval is a notable achievement which has been achieved subsequent to year end after thorough engagement on the content within the context of the changing and severe economic environment. Both of these organizational structures seek to address critical capacity constraints by providing for new areas of work and strengthening the existing functional areas. The department structure seeks to enhance its capacity to consolidate the fight against fraud and corruption and also strengthen the investigative capacity of the department. Capacitate the state with technical and professional infrastructure skills. Strengthen the expanded public works program ability to drive public employment program in order to achieve the stringent targets of 6 million job opportunities by the end of this term. Manage concurrent and intergovernmental obligations. The department and PMT have continued to implement the retired professionals program, providing the necessary mentorship and coaching capacity for the skills program to attract young professionals and building capacity of current employees. The retired professionals employed by the department also fill the recruitment gap in scarce and critical technical professional skills required in various engineering fields, including those in the property management. The department also made an impact in the skills development area with programs in the water treatment, for example, artisan development, and the intention programs. Some of the details will be provided later, but are contained in the report itself. In terms of ICT, information technology, the department continued to monitor the institutionalization of the infrastructure delivery management system, which is called IDMS, and rollout of the functional generic structure. We also worked with the provinces and helped capacitate them in implementing the IDMS, and this resulted in an enhanced internal capacity within the public works family. In the construction project management area, the PMTE aims to ensure that all buildings under its custodianship are built and operated in an environmentally sustainable way. Notable progress under construction project management is acclaimed, particularly with regard to the following projects. The Capitol Hill Precinct in Tshwane and the refurbishment and upgrade of Agrival has been completed, providing 40,000 square meters state-owned facility of a four-star green design rating for energy efficiency and water savings. And this building is occupied by the Department of Public Service and Administration currently. The Dips Road Police Station, which provides the much-needed services to the community. upgrades at the correctional services in Matitiele, which included the erection of 10 new cells and notable planned maintenance projects, e.g., for example, repairs and civil works, roads and stormwater and other services, have been executed by the department in Johannesburg, Paarl, Brits, Bloemfontein, East London, Port Elizabeth, and Durban. Skelbert Headland Port of Entry, construction of the main border post, where we did civil works, operational buildings, bus and light vehicle inspection. Tabatswane Correctional Center, where we did repairs, maintenance of buildings, work services, and civil infrastructure. These are just
examples were structured. This occurs within the context of the struggle to deal with some of these things, either through sometimes delays caused by non-performance of contractors, etc., etc., some of which we litigate, fire, get interdicts, some get liquidated in the process. If we look at the expanded public works program, the work opportunities reported for the year, for year two of the phase three, suggest that the target of 1.1 million work opportunities was not achieved, as only 741,000 work opportunities were reported on the system. Some of the work opportunities created were not reflected on the reporting system because of deficiencies in terms of the new framework and stringent requirements for verification. So it is our view that there has been a bit of under-reporting, and we will indicate how some of these are being mitigated. But because we cannot put the information that is going to be questionable and cause unnecessary audit qualifications, we had to leave it out until it can be appropriately accounted for. Low figures are the result of public bodies not having geared themselves for the new reporting system, which requires additional reporting fields and supporting documents as stipulated in the above-mentioned ministerial determination. Interministerial Committee on Public Employment Programme was launched in July 2015, not 2016, I'm sorry for that, and it is chaired by the Deputy President. Since then, the committee has undertaken site visits to EPWP projects, for example, in Orange Farm, Gauteng Province, Graskop, Mpumalanga, and subsequent to here, and I think we also went to other sites, including Northern Cape, various sites in Northern Cape. Following the site visits, the PEPIMC has met twice to explore various models that will deepen the impact of the EPWP projects for communities, poor and unemployed people. In the legislative environment, progress on the review of the Expropriation Act 1975 is noted for the period under review. The department actively participated in public hearings and intensive engagements on the expropriation bill with National Assembly's Portfolio Committee, which is this committee. An amended expropriation bill was adopted by the committee on public works and subsequently adopted by National Assembly in February 2016. In March, it was introduced to the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, NCOP, and the committee subsequently submitted the bill through their processes for provincial consultations. The Agrima South Africa bill was tabled at both the National Assembly and the NCOP, establishing it as a Schedule 3A public entity. Consequently, ASA Act was assented to by the President in December 2015. Transitional arrangements are underway in preparation for ASA to be fully fledged entity by April 2017. We then had to extend the current arrangements with CSIR, which are both cost saving as well as ensuring that the entity does not fall as a result of the transition. The Independent Development Trust business case to establish the IDT as a Schedule 3A public entity has been finalized. Consultations subsequent to year-end have started with the structures of government. I think about a week or two ago, it was at the Foresight Forum of Digi-Structures on Governance and Administration. And we are looking at the inputs that were provided there so that we can then reprocess it on its way to Cabinet. On the regulations on prompt payment and adjudication for construction industry, a draft was published for comment by the Minister of Public Works in the Government Gazette 38822 of May 2015. The gazetting of the regulations on prompt payment have been put on hold pending the review of the CIDB Act after the legal opinion by the Office of State Law Advisor that the regulations were expanding the scope of the minister, not covered in the CIDB. So the requirement was that rather deal with the amendment of the CIDB Act first and then you can be able to deal with this issues. In promoting black enterprises and supplier development and skills acquisition, the Property Sector Charter Council aligned its sector codes with the revised BBBEE Act of 2013 and the Property Management Empowerment Policy, which will serve as an overarching framework of the department's empowerment initiatives and programs towards the transformation of the property industry, has been developed. The Property Management Empowerment Policy will incorporate the sector code going forward. On the issue of the municipal debt, which I think honorable members will recall, we presented to this committee earlier and presented it. We are spearheading the project to verify government debt owed to municipalities by government departments, both national and provincial, to ensure settlement by sector departments, as well as the sustainable process of ensuring that rates and taxes are paid on time going forward. The project focuses on verifying the debt reported in terms of Section 71 of the Municipal Finance Management Act 2003. Act number 56 of 2003. As of 31 March 2015, for an example, municipalities were owed a total of 96 billion by households, business, and government. National and provincial government departments accounted for 5.4% of that total debt. The bulk of it was owed by business, private sector, and households. By the end of the financial year, as we reported, 3.5 billion of the reported 5.2 billion was verified for the entire government sector. Of this 3.5 billion, an amount of 3 billion was confirmed and signed off by relevant municipalities with no disputes as owed debt with supporting documentation. And the department's obligation with regard to the above is a net amount of 572 during the year and in the year, arrear and current obligations were settled, leaving 177 million of that figure. I think the main issue is going to remain the unverified amounts and what we are to do with them. And there are various discussions with the sector departments such as Treasury and local Department of COCTA to find a permanent solution in dealing with this matter so that we can be able to wipe off this debt and remain with current debt for municipalities going forward. On the oversight and concurrent mandate support, we provided support, guidance, and coordination to the public works sector in terms of planning and performance management processes. The planning processes of the provinces were done in June 2015, where customized performance indicators, CPIs, in interrelated, interdependent programs areas were developed. These areas are monitored on a quarterly basis. So we're trying to create some level of norms and standards to be able to monitor and be able to share information amongst the members of the sector so that we can be able to learn from one another. Further, in the strengthening support to the provinces, performance reviews were conducted on individual provincial basis as well as holding quarterly deliberations in the Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation Forum. Since the establishment of the CPIs in 2012, much progress has been achieved both in terms of understanding the sector in areas such as property and construction management, asset registers, facilities management and job creation. The oversight function was strengthened through engagement at different fora, such as MINMEC, which is chaired by the Minister with the MECs as members, GIAMA Implementation Technical Committee, which is aimed at making sure that we now complete the implementation of GIAMA and identify the areas that require to be addressed, which will probably become part of the next phase of amending that act in order to reflect on the realities post its implementation. We also have a CFO forum that deals with issues that relate to financial management and audit outcomes and share as well experiences on those areas. Asset register management and the IDMS. The coordination approaches for public works sector as part of the intergovernmental coordination received more attention as is intended. As a result, a diagnostic study was undertaken to understand how the department should improve in this area. Our contribution to the oceans economy. In pursuance of the department's commitment to Operation Pakisa, oceans economy, unlocking the economic potential of South Africa's oceans, and in alignment with the vision to maximize the utilization of state-owned movable assets to create jobs and grow the country's overall oceans economy, we convened an engagement with the Departments of Environmental Affairs, Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation, and local municipalities that were affected, in fact, including those that are outside of Western Cape, where we are contemplating proclaiming these harbors. And this was done in August 2015 to discuss further the development of 13 proclaimed fishing harbors in the Western Cape. The purpose of this engagement was to share the work already done in the oceans economy stream of Operation Pakisa, as well as the final spatial and economic development framework that was developed for all of these harbors, detailing proposed infrastructure repairs and maintenance projects for each harbor commencing in the 2016-17 financial year and ending in March 2019, for which we committed funds for that improvement and hope then to be able to leverage even private sector contributions in dealing with this matter. Now, I am going towards looking at the performance. The vision and mission of the department is well known, so I'll skip it. Goals linked to service delivery in this regard. In order to execute its mandate competently, the Department of Public Works identified 5 strategic outcomes-oriented goals that define its direct service delivery responsibility. These goals are a sound legislative and policy prescript to accelerate service delivery, oversight, leadership and support to provincial public works, coordination of the EPWP for the creation of decent employment through inclusive economic growth, strategic leadership and regulation of the construction and property sectors to stimulate economic empowerment and skills development, and good corporate governance to support proficient and efficient service delivery. Overall performance, Chair, you will see for DPW is 60.7%, for PMT is 60.9%. The details of this challenges will be discussed in the following slides. St- starting again, continuing with the department. In the annual report, these are covered from page 59 to page 62. Strategic objective number one is to provide strategic corporate services to PMT and DPW through implementation of corporate services. Here we have fraud awareness, finance and supply chain programs. In under fraud and awareness, we have set ourselves certain targets and 100% investigation initiated within 30 days of the reported allegation against the target of 100%. So that was achieved. 38% reduction in fraud and corruption risk achieved. We had set a target of 50% in this regard. So it was not fully achieved as a target. Under finance and supply chain management, 44% reduction of irregular expenditure baseline was achieved. We had set ourselves a 30% reduction in the year under review, recognizing that we are dealing with all of these historical problems that we need to phase out and ensure that we are able to deal with them. 75% compliant invoices were settled within 30 working days, and we had set ourselves a target of 100%. It's an area we still need to give attention to, and we'll indicate how we planning to deal with that later. 78% bids awarded within 56 days of closure of tender. Looking at the low base that we are coming from, we have set ourselves a 50% target, and therefore we have achieved it, and as a result in subsequent years we have upped the targets in order to ensure that we further effect more efficiencies and achievements in this. Disregard. 101% procurement cost market price with preferential premium of goods and services purchased. Our target was 140%, therefore we had partially achieved it and not fully achieved. Strategic goal number two, to provide strategic corporate services to PMT, continuing with the strategic goal, the organizational structure for DPW and PMT were approved and submitted to DPSA. Migration of staff to PMTE structure is started subsequent to the year end and is still in progress. You will appreciate, members, that it also involves a lot of consultation with affected parties. In order to ensure that we don't experience unnecessary labor problems. 100% funded prioritized vacancies were filled. 603 appointments and made 107 promotions during the year. 1,294 against a target of 1067 beneficiaries participated in the DPW skills development program. We had 90 young professionals, 700 interns, 319 learnerships, and 52 management trainees, 133 program artisans taken up. In the ICT environment, we completed a multi-tier hardware infrastructure upgrade because our infrastructure was decaying and was inadequate to address the problems of the department. Completed electronic procurement systems installation and Works4U mobile application development. The Works4U is also manages our call center to improve our ability to receive and respond to complaints and issues raised against the department. 100% of reported cases of fraud and corruption cases subjected to disciplinary processes. 4 finalized, 3 pending in the year under review. under intergovernmental coordination, we convened in 14 intergovernmental forums in the year. We had set ourselves well. The diagnostic report on the 2014-15 sector performance was developed. Service delivery framework completed for one identified service, which is construction. Average score of 2.9 measured by the index score for management practices. I think that would be confirmed through even through the MPAT program. That is run by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. And the EPWP, as I indicated, 742,000 work opportunities, nearly 742,000 work opportunities created to the EPWP phase three. This is against the planned target of 1.1 million. 695 work opportunities created in rural municipalities, and the planned target was 700,000. Participation among designated groups was as follows. 68% were women. We had planned for 55% to be women. 45.9% youth. We had planned 55% for youth. 1.68 people living with disabilities. Our plan was 2%. On all of these, the variances were marginal, and therefore, even though not achieved, if you use the principle of substance over form, you can say substantially achieved. 100% of performance-based incentive allocation dispersed to eligible public bodies across all sectors. 278 municipalities provided with technical support reporting on EPWP's targets, and the target was 278, so it's achieved. 353 public bodies submitted signed-off data reports. Because of previous cumbersome processes, we had planned for 13 public bodies, and in fact, because we used, we have changed an electronic, and are using electronic methods of doing the verification, there's been an improvement, and therefore our targets going forward have been upped significantly to reflect the realities for this. Property construction industry policy. We are in the process of putting a team to develop the white paper on public works. The intention of the white paper is to review the department's 1997 and 1999 white papers and assess their continued relevance in realizing government's national priorities. I had indicated that previously, that is what is happening now. Clarify the department's mandate and its oversight of provincial departments of public works, and ensure that where there are deficiencies, there isn't a legislative difficulty for intervention that is required. And develop new policy objectives to address developments in the local and global environment in which the department operates. The IDD business case as an entity and delivery arm of government has been developed, as I've indicated. At the time of reporting, the next step was then to do the consultations that are aimed at submitting it to cabinet for endorsement. And I've indicated where we are with regard to that process. The draft contractor development implementation report has been developed and is in the process of consideration within the internal government structures. Final draft of the DPW property management empowerment policy has been developed and is in the process of consideration within the internal governance structures of the department, which will then culminate also in a presentation at the intergovernmental forum of MINMEC. later. On the prestige program, draft prestige norms and standards for category 3 clients developed and completed but not yet approved by Parliament. At the time, 4 prestige norms and standards adapted for provincial public works were compliance and information for 5 provinces is still was still outstanding to look at a uniform approach to the policy, to the norms and standards. Policy guidelines on installation, management, and maintenance of security infrastructure at national key points has been developed. It's in the process of consultation and approval. Policy guidelines on implementation of security measures for members of the judiciary has also been developed and is in the process of consultation as well, so that we can be able to implement later and get the necessary approval from the appropriate structures. 17 state events were supported with movable infrastructure. We had set a target of 15. 39 requests received and 8 were delivered within 60 days. And this is one area that we are looking at creating more efficiency targets, because the idea is to ensure that all these requests are responded to within the targeted time. Although all were responded to, but only 8 were achieved through the target time. 4 quarterly reports on infrastructure expenditure were completed. In the PMGE, the vision of the PMT is the preeminent accommodation and real estate management service provider for national government. Its mission is to optimize the state's immovable portfolio through innovative and best practice approach to ensure competent, proficient, and sustainable service delivery by reducing the cost to government on listing accommodation and maximizing returns on leased out accommodation, partnering with the private sector for property financing and delivery options and strategies for our clients, streamlining the value chain business improvement policy approaches and strategic alignments, utilizing the alternative energy solutions and green management technology for enhanced efficiency cost savings. The achievements there are as follows. And our strategic objective 1, which is to provide leadership, strategic management, and governance and support. 100% of ICT service level agreements commitments were achieved through the business application on the call center. 100% to 790 contracts and 123 legal opinions and contracts formulated within 5 working days of request. And this is another key performance indicator that is efficiency based. 15.32% vacant, 1098, and filled. These are posts for the PMT. The target was to reduce the vacancy rate from 25%. We only achieved its reduction of 15.3%. And this is largely as a result of the reflection on the extent of the transition with regard to the issue of managing a structure, as well as ensuring that you don't overspend. 122% was achieved in the area of beneficiaries participating in the DPW skills development. I have already indicated those numbers in terms of the breakdown, which is 90 young professionals, 700 interns, 319 learnerships, 52 management trainees, and 133 program artisans. In the area of finance and supply chain, area. 85% of invoices paid within 30 days of receipt against the target of 100%, as I've indicated. 22% reduction of 1.8 billion debtor balance, of which we had set a target of 20% reduction. 90% collection of the 13.62 billion amount. We had set 90% collection of this debt, and we are talking about the current debt. 97% procurement cost, market price with preferential premium of goods and services purchased. Our target that we set was 130%. Even though we did well, we did not achieve it as planned. In Program 2, Real Estate Investment Management, Strategic Objective 1, and there's an error in the presentation. It is supposed to read as is indicated in the annual report. 42 of the 42 user departments, UMs, user asset management plans, template for 2016, were completed and submitted as user departments by user departments for reviewing their strategic infrastructure requirements. This is one of the areas that had been very ignored previously, which caused, therefore, our inability to assess appropriately the extent to which the departments will demand on our services. Two precinct development proposal reports were completed. As we indicated, I think when we came to do the this program earlier in the year, in the Tswane environment, both which covers the Northern Gateway and Southern Gateway, and then two precinct development proposal reports were completed for the other two cities, which was Mabato and Mbombela, as set out. And then two of the two precinct development proposals were completed for the rural precincts covering the Mandeni and Mount Fletcher. 12% increase in the value of immovable asset portfolio. The target that we had set was 2%. 100% preliminary investment decisions made, approved within the prescribed period for construction, refurbishments, leaseholds, and supply, as was set in terms of the targets. In the 100% freehold properties identified for redevelopment by the BBBEE developers, the target set was 100%. 82% investment decisions approved to support Operation Pakisa projects, which was 9 out of the 11 Operation Pakisa aquaculture related leases. The target we had set was 80%. 100% investment decisions approved on proclaimed fishing harbors infrastructure. The target was 80%. Three performance reports in the performance of identified buildings. That was the target that was set. Two reports on the performance of 10 freehold and leasehold buildings measured against the industry standards. Under the construction management, we had set our intent, the contribution by PMTE to the EPWP. We set a target of 15,000. We achieved 11,123. Work opportunities through the construction of our own project. We fell short by nearly over 3,000. 125 projects completed construction period. The target that was set was 62. And as a result, subsequently, that we had been able to consider increasing the target going forward. because there have been improvements that have been implemented to try and agree and ensure that we deliver projects within the set time frames. 109 projects completed within approved budget. The target that was set was 77. 118% construction contracts allocated towards BBBEE. The target we had set was 35. All of these targets appear to have been set very low, and we acknowledge that and have adjusted them in the new APP so that we can reflect the efficiencies we have now achieved. And this was based on the old trends. Program 4, real estate management. 849 vacant land secured to let out towards economic development initiatives. The target that had been set was 100. 646 lease agreements reviewed according to the rental rate per square meter escalation. This is a target that is aimed at ensuring that we reduce the cost of rental per square meter. 80.19% leases renewed before expiry date. We had set a target of 75%. 50.9% surplus-free property allocated towards BBBEE, which is reflects 27 out of the 53 cases. 99.32 of identified real estate verified against a target of 100% was achieved. 91% of real estate assets verified against a target of 100%. One provincial real estate asset register incorporated into a single repository, which was aimed at was set at that rate based on the progress already identified before the target was set. 718 identified buildings with facilities management contracts were set a target of 300, which we now consider to have been low because we have now improved by setting up. We've got dedicated people, personnel at a high level who are working on these things and improving on the systems. We had also set a target of 284 reduction in kilowatt hour usage. We had achieved 284 million kilowatt hours against the target that was set of 220 kilowatt hours for energy savings during the annual review. And this was through the shared services contracts that we signed with the various users. 4 million reduction in kiloliter usage was achieved on water consumption, and the target that had been set was 3.9 kiloliters. 82% of facilities management contracts allocated towards broad-based black economic empowerment, and the original 5%. Now, I'll come to the challenges that reflect on the areas that we did not achieve and be able to indicate what the situation is in that regard. In the work opportunities that were reported, the challenge is the low performance on work opportunities is as a result of public bodies' inability to report on the work opportunities created. Therefore, not all projects implemented by public bodies in 2015-16 financial year were reported on. As I have indicated, we also through the system were unable and reluctant to put questionable data. What action are we taking to deal with this thing? Targeted assistance is being provided as we speak. That is what was going to be provided and is being provided post year end. to reporting bodies to assist them with the data capturing, quality of data, and proof POEs as per the special ministerial determination. Is it proof of evidence as per the special ministerial determination? So we want to be able to prove the evidence as we put the data on the system. Development of the new public works white paper, the scope and complexity of the white paper projects, as well as the need for objective perspective, necessitates that the procurement of some external expertise so that we can be able to utilize that expertise and incorporate them in the process of testing the market and making sure that the base on which we base the program is sound. But we found no service provider during that process that met the requirement, and what we did to deal with that thing was decided to deal with it internally, but in source limited number of people and authorities on the function of DPW and PMTE, which has been done. It was at the time a planned remedial action. A task team of the department's executive committee has been established to drive the white paper project to completion, and this task team also includes people outside of the department on the basis of their expertise in the process. And that seems to be working very well for us because these, some of them have established knowledge, and I think two of them are working in government, in local government, one, and the other one in the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. The IDT business case, contractor development and contractor development implementation. Government component institutional form was considered. However, as part of the discussion, Schedule 3A, after intense analysis and discussion of the pros and cons, was then agreed to be the most suitable institutional form. I think in this case, we considered a number of other institutional forms. We also considered, for example, making it a trading entity within the department. Within the department, but all of those things had to be revisited because of the disadvantages that they would pose for the IDT and make its case to be weak. A revision of the IDT case, therefore, was undertaken, which also required consultations with National Treasury, DPM, ESO, and socio-economic impact assessment, study assessment, and relevant foresight cluster consultation. This process was undertaken post-year-end. As I indicated, we are going back to the GNA cluster to deal with all of the issues that they have raised in the process. Delays within the construction value chain and updating of the system, which is the WCS system, are major contributors to creating a backlog on projects that were in the project list that required to be cleared. The remedial action is that we are currently in the process of creating a dedicated capacity to clear the projects and update the system and ensure that all our old projects are out of the system or completed. As we can see that we have managed to complete quite a number of them, even subsequent to the year end. One of the areas was completion of the schools under the school built program. And the challenge that we experienced there was in getting approval of assessment reports on time first and the bills of and the bills of quantities from DBE. Unfortunately, the model for this thing, based on the manner in which budgets are allocated, is that the budgets are at DBE, So every time we have to do anything, we've got to get approval. And then later, after we're done with our money, the full assessment of what's required with the reports on each one of the schools, DBE came back and said, unfortunately, we do not have the money to deal with these things. And therefore, we had to look at alternatives, including engaging National Treasury. The matter has still not been resolved. But the work has been done. We have kept those things. If they were to do any further work, is to reconfirm what has been there. And I think that still is something that has to be pursued. One area is the occupancy rate for partially occupied properties. And the challenge here is the measurement of occupancy rate not yet established as the asset register is being updated, which is what was the situation as of 31st of March. We had indicated that the measurement will only be determined once the occupancy rate has been established as the asset register is being updated. I think the head of PMTE will be able to provide concrete information on work that has been undertaken to reflect on how what is the status of the occupancy rate post-year-end after the full assessment has been done. Surplus freehold. The challenge here was limited advertising of state-owned properties. The remedial action was the launching and implementation of National Treasury online state-owned property listing services to advertise and facilitate the letting out of state properties to private sector. This process, subsequent year end, has been started, and I think head of PMT will indicate that we have placed this matter on the Treasury website after developing full details of each of the properties we had identified. The plan is to do it on a phase-by-phase basis until we have all of those assets either utilized, leased, or even disposed at a later stage where it's clear that there are a surplus to requirements. One area was the mapping of coastal reserves under the custodianship of the public works. The challenge was that we had no coastal services under the custodianship that were mapped, and this is as a result of the Office of the Chief Surveyor General, which was conducting a research along the coastal coast to identify and finish all the coastal reserves, which they registered, surveyed, and unsurveyed. 6,182 land parcels and 237 coastal reserves identified by the Chief General, Surveyor General, and DPW, respectively. And this is work that has been undertaken largely subsequent to the reporting period. Efficiency and turnaround time for the unscheduled maintenance on freehold property. This indicator was adopted at the time without the historical data and trends. And this posed a big challenge because once we did not have it, therefore we could not be able to deliver on it until we have started to deal with the process of developing the accurate data. Remedial action that has been taken is that the accurate data is now available. New measures and targets on these indicators are being developed, and they will be reflected in the new APPs going forward. Installation of building management systems, area that was set. The challenge is that the installation of building management system required extensive planning and an adequate budget. And at the time, we did not anticipate the extent of the complication of this. Only two were achieved through the AgriVal upgrade and acquisition of the telecom towers. Now, as a remedial action, we have considered this as part of the rollout of the ICT solutions, and we believe we'll set targets that we can be able to achieve going forward. State buildings not optimized and poor conditions of some buildings does not enable the user department to fulfill their service delivery. This is the challenge that we have identified. The intervention in this particular case is that current rate that we have identified, as I've indicated, he will indicate, of utilization of these buildings is 96%. Where maintenance programs to improve access to and the quality of the state movable assets developed for implementation as part of the efficiency enhancement phase. Now it's in our program and on our radar. We have looked at 300 as a priority, 300 high impact areas within the 180 day program that we have set ourselves in order to be able to deal with this. We have also linked this process with the revenue generation, and we believe by the 31st of March 2017, in the current year, we'll be able to achieve that. Another challenge is infrastructure backlogs, non-compliance with laws and regulations, and the inability to deliver projects within time, budget, and quality. Backlogs in project planning, delivery, and we have introduced a monitoring and evaluation process to measure the performance of project managers to expedite the delivery of infrastructure projects. And this also includes, for example, utilization of the entities of public works, such as IDT. We have also, as I've indicated, started the implementation of IDMS as a means of intervening and ensuring that everything is planned in accordance with what was intended. And therefore, going forward, we'll be able to deal with these things and improve, particularly with time and budget, as well as quality. We're also looking at provision of training, oversight, and capacity to strengthen the project management function. Project management office has been established with the necessary line of sight, and the delegations have been developed to ensure effective coordination and control of the project, which was a problem in the past, resulting in when there is a problem, nobody taking full responsibility, because there would be an intervening structure that has no authority, like, for example, a regional manager in the process. Reviewing the business improvement plan with focus on strengthening the professional capacity, conceptualized efficiency enhancement interventions which are aimed at turning the construction project management function around. As I have indicated, one of the interventions which is not reflected here, which has happened subsequently, is that we have now hived off a portfolio for IDT in order to also to help them to be sustainable and to utilize the expertise that already exists there, rather than leaving it for them to be contracted directly by the various departments in all cases. And then the other challenge is the tight fiscal space that we need to manage within, and I think this is general for everybody. We're developing a financial model with a focus on revenue generation through various interventions, which is aimed at being achieved by the 31st of March 2017. On governance, Chair,
Through the governance and risk and compliance function, which is a GRC function, the department has shifted focus to a new discipline in a way in which governance arrangements and the order of business are managed. The function also intensified the fight against fraud and corruption, developed internal practices towards improving the integration of planning, risk management, performance monitoring process, as well as enhancing oversight and alignment of the activities of public entities reporting to the Minister of Public Works. The department has also been successful in rolling out support to the provincial departments of public works with respect to developing performance monitoring and evaluation systems, as I indicated. We have demonstrated in the year under review and going forward incremental improvement in the, for example, MPET tool results. They are much, much better than they were before. I think the targets now are sitting at over 71%, which is a complete difference from what public works was, because we used to be amongst the bottom in terms of those results. We also have quarterly oversight engagements, as I have indicated, which are conducted by the department in relation to the public entities, which is the CIDB, CBE, Agrima South Africa, and IDT, which has enabled the department to closely monitor the governance practices in general, as well as the performance of the indicators against their respective targets, as articulated in their strategic and annual performance plans. We also look at and participate in their workshops for planning. Awareness of the departmental fraud prevention strategy is led by intensive fraud awareness programs throughout the department and targets all employees of the department. Chair, I'll hand over to the CFO to just complete the remaining part of the presentation.
Good folks, I would like to suggest that we take a 15-minute body break to have some tea, water. DG, you have a very soothing voice. Some members of your delegation took the opportunity to consult ancestors, and now and then they were waking up, coming back to you. But I'm sure they'll freshen up after the tea break. Thank you. So we'll be back at 20 past. Thank you. Thank you.